Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, this week's reporting on the over 52,000 unaccompanied children from countries like Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, who've crossed the border into the U.S., has raised a lot of questions. We know U.S. law requires that children from non-bordering countries stay in the U.S. and be processed, while kids from Mexico are turned over to Mexican officials right at the border. They go home. We hear that the kids from non-contiguous countries go to family members in the U.S. or to sponsors, while officials take them through the process to determine if they can stay. But some of our listeners are asking, can anyone sponsor them? And what exactly is the process? Kevin Appleby is the director of migration policy for the Conference of Catholic Bishops, one of several organizations that contracts with the Department of Health and Human Services to provide care for these kids. Kevin, there's a spike in the number of children crossing the border right now. We know that. But you want to remind people that thousands of these children come across the border every year.
Prior to 2011, there were an average of 6,000 to 8,000 children in this category who came across every year, and the system was able to handle them in terms of the shelters that they were kept in or reunification with families. Now that we have an overwhelming number, 52,000 kids are left in these Border Patrol stations for longer than they should be, and therefore you see the pictures of them sleeping on the concrete floors in not very acceptable conditions. So that's what we're seeing here, sort of an emergency situation, which is overwhelming our response.
Well, and what is the process supposed to be? We understand that generally it's U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials that first encounter these minors. And then they are required by law to turn them over to the Office of Refugee Resettlement?
That's correct. The Department of Homeland Security requires that these kids be given over to the Office of Refugee Resettlement within 72 hours. And then that office will find child-appropriate shelters for them and reunify them with family that's in the United States so that they can be in a situation where they're cared for while they wait for the immigration proceedings to begin.
Okay, couple questions. First of all, when we hear of Office of Refugee Resettlement, why aren't these children being called refugees? They're being handled by a refugee office, and they're fleeing, many of them, violence in their home countries.
Well, that's the big question, the big debate that Americans have already heard and will hear in the next few weeks. There are two ways for someone who's fleeing persecution to get into the country. One would be for them to flee to a neighboring country and then be processed into the United States under the U.S. refugee program, which takes about 70,000 refugees a year. The other way is just to cross the border and say, I'm fearful, I don't want to be returned, and that's called an asylum seeker. But they're different sides of the same coin. They're both fleeing persecution. They're both adjudicated and according to certain standards. We interchange those terms a lot. They're essentially individuals or children that are fleeing persecution and need protection. They can't be returned because they could be killed. We took a trip down to Central America in November to look at this issue, and we found that, children are being targeted by organized crime networks down there, trying to be recruited into gangs at threat of their life. So in that sense, they're fleeing violence, they're fleeing threats to their life, and could be considered refugees or someone who needs international protection.
Well, and as you know, this is a matter of huge debate. One person's asylum seeker is another person's undocumented illegal immigrant, no matter what the age. So that's part of the political debate. We'll put that aside. Staying with the process, I'm even reading on the Center for American Progress explanation of what happens, that the Office of Refugee Resettlement works with these kids, cares for them, releases them to family members or sponsors. That's raised the question for a lot of people of, oh, well, somebody other than a family member can receive them here. Can I be that person? How does that work?
Well, there are two ways to do that. You can be a sponsor under the Family Reunification Plan if you're a family member or you're a family friend, but you have to prove that you have a prior relationship with a child. The other way to sponsor a child is you could become a foster care parent. where you get training and you get licensed, and you're allowed to take care of these children until their immigration hearing.
Well, Kevin Appleby, we have this huge spike, this huge influx. And by the way, we're putting aside the political, but the Center for American Progress makes an interesting point. There are those who say that this influx is because the recent policy from President Obama with a path to legal residency for children of immigrants, people who were brought over when they were children, they say that's caused this spike. But the Center for American Progress points out there's been no influx of Mexican children. But do you think that many of them will be sent back? What do you think the end result is going to be?
What we've found is that, 40 to 50% will get some sort of immigration relief. And it's not just asylum that they're eligible for. They might be eligible for a special immigrant juvenile visa for a child that's been abused, neglected, or abandoned, or a T visa if they're trafficking victims. So there's several different avenues for immigration relief for these children, but Americans look at this and think, oh, we're going to have to accept every child that comes across the border now. That's not true. What we're saying is that at least these children should go through due process. Their stories should be heard because they are at risk of being harmed or killed if they're returned to their countries, and we need to protect them and at least give them due process rights.
And do you worry that some of that process, with the push to speed up the process, will be denied them?
Well, very much so. In fact, the Obama administration has indicated that they're going to ask the Congress for authority to sort of fast-track these deportations and return to a policy that's applied to Mexican children called expedited removal, where only a Border Patrol agent has to ascertain if a child's in danger of being harmed if they're returned. And, of course, God bless the Border Patrol. They have a tough job, and they do a good job. But adding this burden to them where they're not trained in immigration law really leaves children vulnerable to that process, not to mention the fact that they have no attorneys to help them navigate it. So just imagine your own child who's 10 years old, who's traveled 1,000 miles in dangerous conditions, talking to another enforcement official about what they've experienced. That's really daunting for a young person, for a child.
Thanks so much for talking to us.
You're welcome.